gift from God.
Amen.
And we need to be grateful for it this morning. This morning is a time, without apology, for celebrating our birthday in America. I'm sorry. What's Friday? Well, whose birthday is Friday? I thought you were talking about individuals. What's Friday? It's our nation's birthday. And that is a special celebration. 200 and how many years ago? How many know? 232 years ago, we brought forth or birthed the United States. Amidst difficult circumstances and frustration, with despair and persistent courage, as our colonists fought against despotic tyrannists. King George III, a man of tyranny, and yet God gave great victory. And we have reason to celebrate. This morning, I'm going to cover some scriptures about what it's all about, and then I'm going to unashamedly talk about some of our history. So today, how many like history? Okay, the rest of you just get to endure it this morning. I think it is never a shame to be put in remembrance of the things that made us what we are in America. So I'm going to talk about some of our history. Of course, a synopsis, I won't keep you all day. But I think it's wise that we remember. When we forget, we are doomed to repeat the mistakes of the past. When we remember what our forefathers and mothers did for us, there's another joke this morning, what our forefathers and mothers did for us, we remember their sacrifice and we are apt to maintain and continue the sacrifice for the worthy cause. Let's turn to some scriptures this morning, and I've got many of them up here, but I do love you to see some in your scripture. What I'd like you to do before we even put that one up is turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Just keep your finger there if you would, please, because that verse I want you to see in your own Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. And I'm going to read these other scriptures and then come to it, but I want you to hold its place. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. All right, now let's talk about some other scriptures before we get there, so keep your place. Psalm 119, verse 45. And I will walk at what? Okay, so you keep your place at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and now I'm going to read some scriptures, and I have them on the overhead for you. So Psalm 119, verse 45, I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. Let's go on. Isaiah 61, verse 1. Would you read this out loud with me, please? The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. And of course, who fulfilled that scripture? Our Lord Jesus, you bet. Let's go to that fulfillment, at least one of the places. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel, the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Liberty and freedom is God's idea. I said liberty and freedom is whose idea? It's a godly principle. God wants people set free, not bound, not in captivity, not bound up with the devil's bondage, not held in dominion. He wants hearts that are set free. It begins supernaturally to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, right where you're holding your place. Read it out loud with me, please. I'm reading from the New King James, and it doesn't matter. You might have another translation in front of you, but let's all read out loud 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. All right, is that where we were? Is that where you all were? All right, liberty. How many know and you enjoy seeing the countenances of people who've been set free by Jesus? What do they look like? What do they look like?
Happy.
Happy. What do you look like when you know the Lord has met you?
Thankful.
Yeah. And sometimes we need to tell our face, right? But be thankful. And you don't have to tell the face of the person who's been set free. You know when you've been in bondage. You know when you've been bowed down and you're guilty and full of shame. How does that look? Well, you know. You don't have to tell me. We've all been there, right? We all know what that looks like. But the moment you get set free and forgiven and delivered, and you know Jesus has come into your heart and or forgiven you, thank God for grace and mercy. For by grace are you saved, not by works, lest any man should boast. But when the Holy Spirit comes and touches you, and you repent, and you know you're set free, and you're washed clean by the blood of the Lamb, show me your countenance. Come on, let me see it. What does it look like? That's a lot better than show me the money, isn't it? Show me your countenance. Man, oh man, you can't stop the beaming that takes place because the heart has been set free. There is liberty. And in the Greek, it literally means where the Spirit of the Lord is Lord. You don't just play around with God and get set free. You don't just touch a little religion and get set free. I played religion for a lot of years before I genuinely surrendered my life to Jesus. When I surrendered my life to Jesus, all of a sudden all of this made sense. It didn't make any sense before. I was just trying hard to be a good person. Can anybody say amen? You know where I was? Man, oh man. And it would beat you up because you could never be good enough. But when Jesus sets you free, when He is really Lord of your life, there is a freedom, there is a liberty. All right, let's go on. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast. How are you supposed to stand? Strong, fast. Be a man, the Bible says. Stand you like a man. And women, you get to do the same thing. With strength, with rebar in your spirit. Stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Verse 13. You're great. Thank you. Yeah, it's kind of hard to hit a moving target, but we'll just wait. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. It's a calling of God. It's what He wants you to experience. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. You didn't get set free by the Lord to go out and live and do your own thing, to go out and choose sin. And it's not that. It's not freedom to just do whatever is right in my own eyes. It's freedom to do His purposes. It's freedom to do His word. Not to live for the flesh, but, and especially, through love, serve one another. Look at each other. Smile at each other this morning. Say, I love serving you. Some of you, that looked like that was kind of hard to say. Say it again as many times as it takes. Till it really takes. No. All right, Psalm 127, verse 1. Psalm 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Now, I know that doesn't say the word liberty in there, but that's how liberty is maintained, only by the hand of the Lord. Church, we need to understand, unless God keeps our nation, you can build the strongest military might in the world and still be defeated on the battlefield. You can have the smartest people figuring out the next kind of ways to blow people apart. You can do it all. But remember, in the Old Testament, the way it put it is, strength is not in the number of horses that you have, but in the name of the Lord our God. Remember that song we sing? Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Unless God keeps our house, we labor in vain. So what does that mean? That means we need to cry out to God to keep our house. We need to make sure we've got a house that He wants to keep. Amen? And we want to do our part to make sure it is. Let's go on. Psalm 33, verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He has chosen as His own inheritance. And one more verse, Psalm 144, verse 15. Happy are the people who are in such a state of Washington. Happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Now, I want you to turn to one other one that I don't have written up there. If you'll turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14. 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14. And if we really do want God to intervene in our land and to watch over our cities and to watch over our country, This is where we must begin. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, whose people? God's people. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their neighbors' wicked ways. And turn from their wicked ways. We talked last week about Solomon, if you were there with us. If not, you can listen to it online. GraceChristianCenter.us, little ad. Anyway, Solomon part two, we talked about him meeting with God. And there was a seeking of God, turning from wicked ways. And he asked God to give him a hearing heart. When you see in there in the scriptures about him praying that God will give him an understanding heart, that literally means, I want a hearing heart, God. And that's what we need. Then I will forgive their sin and heal their land. So what do we do? What's our place? To seek God, humble ourselves, turn from our wicked ways. We have great celebration, and it's very godly. It's a biblical thing to celebrate. That's God's idea. And it's a great thing to do as we come up to the 4th of July. But I think we also need to do this right here, lest we forget. And we need to intervene or ask God to intervene in our land again. All right, tyranny. What is tyranny? What is liberty? What is freedom, really? Freedom is something that begins in the heart, and a heart set free is a heart that is really understanding of liberty. There are people, you know people yourself right here in this area, people who can have all the money they want, they can have thousands of acres, they can have the nicest mansion or McMansion in the United States, and they're bound in a prison cell, and it might as well be only one room of their mansion that they can use, because they're not free, they're under bondage. And there are those across our globe right now who are suffering in prison cells for their faith, who soar in the heavenlies because they are hearts set free, given liberty by the hand of the Holy Spirit. 232 years ago in our country, our forefathers were abundantly aware of freedom's risk, the cost to their own lives, their sacred honors. Freedom called to their heart, to their souls. They wanted freedom to worship and to enjoy this nation's destiny. Up and down the eastern seaboard, there was a clarion call that went out as people fought against the tyranny of King George in Britain. And the call that went out was, no king but King Jesus. No king but King Jesus. As we stand here this morning, I know you can acknowledge with me that America is in danger. Warning, warning, warning. Lights are going off. We're in the red zone of warnings. I listened the other day to what I really felt was virtually an apocalyptic newscast as I listened to one moment they were talking about the floods and the levees breaking, and our hearts go out to these people who are suffering everywhere. But floods and more floods and more floods, and in the next breath they told about a 6.7 earthquake, another one that was off the coast of China. And then in the next breath they were on to now nearly 1,000 fires burning in California, as the governor stood up in a newscast I saw this morning saying, we no longer have a fire season in California. It's fire all year long. God have mercy on America. God pour out the Holy Spirit. Have mercy on our land. Forgive us. Now I know it's politically incorrect to say there's judgment of God. But when you read the scriptures, God is a loving God and a judging God. And I'm not declaring the judgment of God, but I am saying we are foolish people if we do not stop ourselves long enough to say, Lord, is this your hand upon our country? And surely we know we deserve it. God have mercy on our land. Somebody say amen with me. Amen. We are foolish if we don't stop long enough in our own lives when trauma happens. Trauma, accidents, problems happen. It's not always the judgment of God, nor should we be quickest to think so. God is a loving God. But we have to reckon on the fact that He is also a God who says, this is the way, walk ye in it. And when we do not, We cannot claim to be then under the umbrella of God for His blessings. You want to be under the umbrella of God and His covering for the blessing of God to come. How many want to be blessed by God? Come on. Let's see the show. Wave your hands at me. Kevin, I want to be blessed by God. I want to be blessed by God. So then stay under the umbrella of His covering. Stay under where the blessing... What is the old phrase? Stay under the spout where the glory comes out. Well, that goes back a ways. Oh, my goodness. Stay under the spot where the glory comes out, folks. Don't get outside the blessing of God. Don't run away from the Word of God and live life on your terms and think you can be blessed. We have a nation right now that's living like that. God have mercy on our land. All right. Tyranny is a demonic grip in the soul. If the soul is depraved, the freedom is lost. The pilgrims came to our land looking for freedom to worship and not bow to state-required religion. Or to have, again, a tyrannical despot who wanted to rule over faith and morals and conscience. They wanted freedom to worship our Lord Jesus. Those in the 1700s coming up to the Revolutionary War were facing still the same kind of thing. Taxation without representation. The lack of opportunity for appeal. The lack of trial by jury. The ways in which our colonies and resources were literally being raped economically. Men of conscience, who had no desire to rebel against England, joined in with the need for freedom's call. What are the definitions of freedom and liberty? Freedom, the state of being free, the absence of necessity, coercion, or constraint in choice or action, liberation from slavery or restraint or from the power of another. What does liberty mean? The power to do as one pleases. You know, in Jesus, don't you, it's one of these things where I'm free to do what I want as long as it's what He wants. That's what surrendering to Lordship is. I'm free as long as I want to do what He wants. It's an amazing thing. Now, stop just long enough. I know this is basic, but I'm free to do what He wants, and when I do what He wants, then I'm free. I'm free to make another choice, and when I do make another choice that's not what He wants, I'm bound up. I'm in bondage. I'm not free. Have you ever been, you don't have to tell me what it is. Come on, look at me honestly. Have you ever been in sin? I thought I'd get a couple. You're all a bunch of sinners. Is that what you're saying? No wonder I'm working so hard. Have you ever been in sin? Of course. Come on, who can be honest? Don't tell me what the sin was. How did it, I better not say it that way. After the initial joy and what you thought was freedom, how did it feel? There's pleasure in sin for a season. Now, when the season changes, how did it feel? Not very good. Guilt comes in, and that guilt is a gift from God. You know, everybody spends time nowadays saying, oh, you don't want to be guilty. Thank God for guilt. If you're walking away from God, and all of a sudden your conscience is pricked, and you're feeling guilty, don't let some psychologist just talk you out of it. Stop long enough to say, I wonder if I'm right with God. Now, if you are right with God and it's just condemnation, you'll feel a shotgun blast through you. You'll never be able to figure out what it is. Get rid of that. That's the devil's condemnation. But the Holy Spirit will be very specific. And if you're feeling bad about something, stop long enough to say, okay, Lord, what is it? And He will show you. If He doesn't show you, throw away the pickle you just ate and go on. Okay, but the person who's bound is the person who's not walking according to His Word. All right. So we've got some definitions. Let's talk about some American history. Let's rehearse a little bit. The Lord calls us in the Scriptures, Romans 6:12 says, reckon, therefore, on these things. And so when we reckon, we recall, we remember, we rehearse some of these things. If we don't, we'll lose sight of the precious victories we've gained. It was June 7th of 1776 in a town called Philadelphia, the city of? That's what it means in the Greek, the city of brotherly love, June 7, 1776. The Continental Congress was convened, and Richard Henry Lee of Virginia read his resolution as he stood to his feet. Resolved that these United Colonies are, and of right, ought to be free and independent states. That they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown. And that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is, and ought to be, totally resolved. The Lee Resolution was simply expressing what was taking place throughout the county, or the colonies. The Second Continental Congress essentially was the government of the United States from 1775 to 1778. They first met in May of 1775, just a few years earlier. Actually just 1 year earlier than Richard Henry Lee's resolution. King George III had not responded or replied to the petition that the colonists sent to him to redress or to address their grievances. And those grievances had been sent by the First Continental Congress. He hadn't answered. As they continued, the Continental Congress gradually took on the responsibilities of the national government. June 1775, the Continental Army was established, and a Continental currency was established. By the end of July, they established a post office. How many are glad? Okay. No. Well, let me think of that. No. Actually, it's one of the things that helped establish our nation. And by August 1775, there came a royal proclamation from the king that the American subjects were, listen to the language, engaged in open and avowed rebellion. Later that year, England's Parliament passed the American Prohibitory Act. It made all American sailing vessels and cargoes forfeit to the crown. England could board them and take all of their possessions anytime, anywhere that they wanted. May of 1776, the Continental Congress also learned that the King of England had made treaties with German missionaries, German mercenaries to fight in America. I almost really changed all of our history there. So the mercenaries were on their way to come fight with America. And this led those in the Continental Congress and the colonies to realize that the mother country was treating the colonies completely as a foreign entity. Clearly, this was not a happy family. One by one, the Continental Congress cut the colonies' ties to Britain. American ports were opened to commerce with other nations. Thomas Paine wrote a pamphlet called Common Sense that was published in January of 1776 and literally leapt off whatever shelves there may have been in those days, sold by the thousands, and it helped lead the colonists to an understanding that independence was inevitable. May 1776, 8 colonies declared support for independence. The Lee Resolution was presented in June 7th of 1776. On June 11th, interestingly, June 11th of 1776, just a few days after that, the consideration of the resolution was postponed. And by divine hand, Congress decided to recess for 3 weeks. Now that sounds like what they do today, doesn't it? Okay, we got some heavy stuff, time for a vacation. But before they did, they commissioned a committee of 5 people to draft a statement which would present to the world the colony's voice and case for independence. The committee of 5, it was consisting of John Adams from Massachusetts, Roger Sherman of Connecticut, Benjamin Franklin of Pennsylvania, Robert Livingston of New York, and Thomas Jefferson of Virginia. The other 4 pressed Jefferson to do the primary writing, and he did so. July 1, 1776, Congress reconvenes. July 2, the Lee Resolution for Independence is now adopted by 12 of 13 colonies. Guess who abstained? New York. New York kept abstaining. They always did kind of do what was right in their eyes. Congress began to consider the declaration that was written by Jefferson and had gone through some alterations. And now Jefferson started kind of going crazy. You know, you got to understand, some of these guys were really pretty full of their egos. And Jefferson was one of those kinds of guys. And he just was going crazy because everybody wanted to keep revising his document. But they kept working on it. And they worked on it. And they worked on it. Late into the night of July 3rd. And they worked on it. And they worked on it. Late into the morning of July 4th. And all of a sudden, they knew something had happened all around their hall where they were meeting, because church bells began to ring out over all of Philadelphia. The Declaration of Independence was indeed adopted on July 4, 1776. The Liberty Bell was cracked on its first ring. Kind of like America. we still have cracks, and only God can heal. The Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved. And for the support of the Declaration, with a firm reliance upon the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. There really is no other document like this on the face of the planet, outside of the Bible itself being far more preeminent. But we are a blessed people to have this as our Declaration of Independence. And it stated far more than this. Revolutionary War. June of 1775, in just weeks after what had happened, there was an outbreak of fighting at Lexington and Concord, if you recall. Congress established the Continental Congress, and they tapped George Washington as commander-in-chief. The delegates to the Congress were so impressed with George Washington. Listen to a couple of the quotes about him. Washington carried himself and purported himself with such dignity that you would distinguish him to be a general and a soldier from among 10,000 people standing all around him. And they went on about George Washington. It said, or one said, there is not a king in Europe that would not look like simply a valet by Washington's side. Then there was the Battle of Saratoga. 1,000 British were killed in 2 days of terrible and horrific fighting. It frustrated Britain's efforts to crush the rebellion. Something was happening all around them. Something was birthed into the heart of people who yearned to be free. And then there was, following that, a stunning victory for the Americans at Yorktown. And it literally began to sap Britain's will to fight. Following Saratoga, there were other actions. And there were some victories for the British down south until there was a great general, one of my favorite, who rose up. And his name was Francis Marion, also known as the Swamp Fox. One of my favorite characters. The British would all come in and stand in their regimented line and try to take on the war. And all of our Americans, they were too smart for that. They kept hiding behind trees and frustrating these British people and the soldiers all around. And God began to give victory after victory after victory. Now, there's also something to remember. And I felt a little bit rebuked in my spirit as I remembered with thanksgiving and reread some of this. I am wont to be as quick as anyone to put down France because of their lack of standing with us nowadays, their total desire to do what is right in their own eyes. However, I think it does us good to recall that they will love their country as much as we love our own. In addition, they were literally invaluable to us at the birthing of our nation. After Saratoga occurred, it was France who stood up with the world or against England and stood for us, recognizing us as a nation. Holland, Spain, and France provided gold and arms, gunpowder, uniforms, medicine, cattle, horses, troops, warships, and they literally took on a challenge of Britain worldwide. And it was because France led the way in doing that, that this was transformed into a war for American independence that Britain could not win. I think that's interesting and good for me to remember. Maybe you too. In one of the encyclopedias that I read, it said, French involvement proved literally decisive with the French naval victory in the Chesapeake, leading to the surrender of the British Army at Yorktown in 1781. The Treaty of Paris in 1783 is what ended the war and recognized the sovereignty of the United States. I found a fresh gratitude in my heart, thanking God for their involvement. Time doesn't allow for the great stories of Paul Revere, the midnight ride of Paul Revere. How many of you could quote the poem? You know, exciting. As you know, there was a time in our country when we really celebrated these heroes. Remember the little brown history books, and you'd read about the great people? And then comes the 70s and the 60s in America, and it all became the anti-hero perspective. And we began to rip these people to shreds, and we wonder why there's very little hero understanding in our nation. But some of the heroes helped us live as a nation, and it's good to have some points of light to point to as a good thing in our country. It's good to be able to provide your children some good perspective of people that led our land. Now, how many understand there has never been a perfect hero except Jesus? You understand that? Of course there's never a perfect one, but it doesn't mean heroic things weren't done. And time doesn't allow me to tell of Patrick Henry's speech that literally changed his own state as they were going to vote against going for standing for the militia and standing for the colony and the army. And he stands up and he says, "As for me, give me liberty or give me death." And after he spoke these words, they stood up and they said, "Move to arms, move to arms." The right person, the right place, at the right time. Where are we today? John F. Kennedy said, "Let every nation know, whether it wish us well or ill, we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the success or the survival and the success of liberty." Tell me, how many stand that strong for that kind of statement in political office yet today? Samuel Adams said, "The liberties of our country, the freedom of our civil constitution, are worth defending at all hazards, and it is our duty to defend them against all attacks. We've received them as a fair inheritance from our worthy ancestors. They purchased them for us with toil and danger and expense of treasure and blood, and transmitted them to us with care and diligence. It will bring an everlasting mark of infamy on the present generation, enlightened as it is, if we should suffer them to be wrestled from us by violence without a struggle, or to be cheated out of them by the artifices of false and designing men." Church, we are at this kind of time here today. We are at probably what could be considered the birth pangs in the book of Matthew and in the scripture. Floods and earthquakes and fires and confusion and turmoil and economic disaster and stock markets plunging and gas skyrocketing. And some say it won't be stopping until it's $7, possibly $10 a gallon. And our food supply for corn being substituted for corn for ethanol, which burns more fuel than it gains. And then we have those who are of homosexual persuasion marrying in some states. Church, what does the Bible say? We love people. But the Bible says sin is sin and truth is truth. Never have we needed Jesus Christ more than we need Him now in America. We need His Word and we need the liberty that only He can give. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, Lord, there is liberty. And as we look toward the celebration of our nation's 232nd year, let's do so with several perspectives. Number one, look to Jesus with thanksgiving and prayer. Hey, guys, don't we have a lot to be thankful for? Yes, and we can stand all day long and we can talk about what's wrong. But we got a lot right yet still, and thank God for the freedoms that we have. Thank God. Look to Him and seek Him for revival. And keep seeking Him and keep praying that the hand of blessing will move and stay the hand of judgment. Pray for God's protection of our land, versus the sustaining protection of our troops abroad and here at home. Pray and intercede for God to have mercy. Is 2 Chronicles 7:14 on there? I had them turn. Let's say this one more time together, shall we? If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now, another couple of things. It's all right to celebrate. I think it's great to celebrate. Celebration is God's idea. You take a look at the celebration he had at the birth of Jesus. There's a party in the sky, angels everywhere, songs and choirs, and these scared shepherds out in the field going, "What's this?" He goes, "Hey, it's better than handing out cigars. I got the whole world singing." Jesus ascends to heaven. There's angels everywhere. And he loves to take people by surprise. And no wonder the first words out of the angel's mouth are, "Now fear not." You'd be afraid too. But he loves to celebrate. And it's a very worthy thing we do when we celebrate on the 4th of July. All right, we stop, we repent, we thank God, we remember, and we celebrate. In fact, it might have been Benjamin Franklin, I believe. I looked for the quote. I brought it before, but I couldn't find it. But it's talked about on in through the ages. This day is to be celebrated with great pomp and parades and the works of fireworks and explosions everywhere. It's really a delightful quote, and it's very right that we celebrate our land. Show the world that you're still proud to be an American. And if you're not from America, we love you. We'll put our arms out to you and thank God for the freedom that you're now living into. Celebrate. Show the world you value the freedom we've been given. Truly value this gift. You know, there's an old phrase, and it's really true. Freedom is really never free. People have purchased it for us. Would you turn off, Bill, right behind you there, that master light switch? This passed around on email just a couple of years ago, and Elaine sent this to me. I don't know if you remember this. And I've turned off the lights, and would you close that door, please? Because it's going to be a bit of a struggle to see. But I think it's really the summation of what we're talking about this morning. This was a photograph of a giant flag in Arizona. And the photograph is authentic. It was untouched. It was taken on a regular camera, 35 millimeter film. The person who took the picture literally couldn't believe the image that was created by the sun's rays. And if people prefer to think God doesn't have his hand on our nation, that's their right. I prefer to believe that he does. Let's see if you can see that. I don't know if you can. The sun's rays simply made the sign of the cross and the flag that day. I wish you could see that better. Church, our sign, most of all, is the sign of the cross. Listen, I'm talking patriotic things, but I am well recognizing that every knee must bow, and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. And it doesn't matter what country you're from. Every culture must bow before the Lord. So I'm thrilled that my first and foremost sign is the sign of the cross. But I'm also deeply grateful for the flag that we have. And I'm thrilled to be an American and unashamed on the 4th of July to celebrate our birthday party. Amen? Amen. I'm very grateful. And that's exactly what I want to see, the cross, first and foremost, and the flag being important too. Right? Let's stand. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, first and foremost, for the cross of Christ, that you are the one who is the great author of liberty and true freedom. It's your idea. We thank you, Lord, that you granted wisdom to our forefathers and those who were our ancestors in this nation, who led the way. And we thank you that you gave great victory, and Lord, we don't want to lose that victory now. Once again, together as a congregation, we pray for mercy on our land. Heal our land, Lord. We cry out, heal our land. As we look to this election, there is really very somber perspectives, because the answer isn't in any party. The only answer is we look to whoever it is. It's we've got to look higher to Jesus Christ and to the Word of God. Lord, raise up righteousness in our land. Let righteousness prevail. Heal us, we pray.